Live from Studio J at the Mighty 990 Broadcast Center. Stomping out bias and setting the record straight. Robin Walensky.
Good morning, Memphis. I'm your host, Robin Walensky. Mighty 990 News Time is 7 o'clock on the dot. You're listening to Wake Up Memphis, and it is Cinco de Mayo, Tuesday the 5th. We have so much going on, a lot of news to tell you about. We have a big hour coming your way, a fair and balanced hour coming your way. We're going to go live to Washington, D.C., hear all the latest nuggets, get the truth about what's going on here, about the coronavirus numbers, where you can get tested, what's going on in your government from the people that you voted for. Our number, 901-260-KWAM. That's 901-260-5926 if you want to be part of the program. People this morning checking in with us on the Mighty 990 Facebook page. Best place to eat on Cinco de Mayo here in Memphis. We will read your comments coming up on the air. But first, as we start every hour, the Pledge of Allegiance.
Memphis, it's time for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Hi, I'm Greg Ratliff, the program director right here at the Mighty 990. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So there is your daily dose of patriotism from our great program director, Greg Ratliff, who's done such a good job here with our station and imaging and helping us steer this ship. Mighty 990 News Time is 7:01. We want to get into some quick news headlines, and then we're going to go to our newsmaker line. But first, we want to tell you what is going on in the city. We have lots of new rules as restaurants here in Memphis try to reopen under phase one of the guidelines. It's only the second day. We're going to hear from, in cut number two, from Fox 13's Siobhan Riley, who says that the restaurants that are open are using paper plates, paper cups, hand sanitizer, mask, gloves, and they're abiding by social distancing. Hit it.
At Soulfish Cafe in Cooper Young, customers are asked to wait in their cars until they're seated. They'll get a text message when employees are ready for them to come in.
I wasn't as nervous as most people would be because I work in the restaurant industry, so I've been continually serving guests and maintaining my distance from people as well.
I asked restaurant owners and managers if they fear having to shut down again in several days.
It's hard to say what's going to happen. We're set up and ready to pivot at any moment because throughout this whole pandemic, we've had to pivot numerous times, and we're expecting a small amount of business.
Now, on the flip side of that, there are certain restaurants that are not open, okay? They are not ready. They don't have that whole list of supplies. Let's go to WMC Action News 5 reporter Kendall Downing.
The city of Germantown put out a statement Monday at noon saying it would allow all personal appearance businesses, including nail, waxing, and tanning salons, and massage therapy businesses to open in defiance of the county health directive. By mid-afternoon, the city of Germantown put out a new additional statement saying, per orders from Governor Bill Lee, we must adhere to orders set forth by the county health department. At this time, only hair salons and barbershops located within Shelby County, including the city of Germantown, will be allowed to reopen on Wednesday, May 6th.
And as for the restaurants that just do not have the supplies, cut number six, let's hear from Chris Luther at WMC Action News 5.
But not all restaurants opened their dining rooms Monday.
We definitely needed more time.
Ashley Biggs Robilio says Huey's restaurants will keep their dining rooms closed all week while they create a safety plan, buy cleaning supplies, and see what happens at other local restaurants.
We just wanted to make sure we would be ready. We did not feel confident. We just want to make sure that we don't make any big mistakes.
Biggs Robilio says she doesn't fault any restaurant for opening Monday.
I think this might be the way it's going to stay for quite a while.
Mighty 990 News Time, 7:04. And speaking of restaurants, live with us on the Mighty 990 Newsmaker line is Tony Sarwar, who's the owner of Tony's Trophy Room. Good morning and welcome to Wake Up Memphis.
Good morning, Robin. Thank you so much for having me on. How are you doing today?
I'm okay. You know, I'm worried about you. I'm worried about all the local business owners here in our area. Tell us about your restaurant, what your story is, and where you're located so folks can find you.
Well, we're located in Cuyahoga, Tennessee. It's we're actually on Poplar Avenue, 929 West Poplar Avenue in Cuyahoga, Tennessee. We're at Tony's Trophy Room. We're an all-American bar and grill, locally owned, locally operated, been here working. My family's been in the restaurant business for 20-plus years in this area, in the Shelby County area. We actually started with La Haciendas and kind of moved over. My wife and I branched off and started our own little venture with the Trophy Room about 5 years ago.
Nice.
And we've been trying to keep it rolling from there.
Okay, so Tony, about 6 to 8 weeks ago, you start to hear about this thing, this silent killer, as the silent enemy, as President Trump calls it. And what do you think?
You know, I think you get caught off two ways. As a son of a dad who's, you know, I guess would be in kind of that that category that could catch this silent killer, you get very careful and very cautious, very nervous, you know, not wanting to do anything. We have four kids, and
wow,
you know, having the little ones, you know, you're cautious to even can't bring them around grandma and grandpa for a little bit. But
what are the ages of your kids, Tony?
I have them spread out completely.
Oh, wow.
Spread out. Yeah,
okay.
We have 20, 10, 5, and 1. The restaurant business doesn't give you a lot of opportunity to kind of figure it out. You just kind of go with what you can get. When it's coming to family, it's one of those stuff, you know, you don't never expect to have a game plan for it. But the restaurant's
right.
Definitely made us spread everything out a little differently.
You're listening to Tony Sarwar here, owner of Tony's Trophy Room here on the Mighty 990. I'm your host, Robin Walensky, on Wake Up Memphis. And Tony, let me ask you this. Does your dad have, or you're the grandparents that are involved in the family, or aunts and uncles, are there health issues? And did you get caught off guard? Did you believe that this virus was out there right away? And how did it impact your business?
I think everybody in this area, you know, got caught off guard. We've never seen anything like this. You know, you have to understand, to the, you know, this industry that we're in, most people in the restaurant industry, you know, most of them aren't able to, you're not getting into the restaurant industry on the employee side or in our side, where most folks don't make this, you know, six-figure, seven-figure type job. So, you know, you're living paycheck to paycheck, and hearing that there's something that could shut the business down or shut your opportunity to be able to provide for yourself and for your family, it's extremely scary. I mean, the uncertainty.
Oh, it is scary. It is scary. And you're running an all-American grill. How many employees do you have over there at Tony's Trophy Room, and where are we this morning? Are you open for takeout and delivery? Are you trying to reopen under the phase one guidelines? Do you have enough masks, hand sanitizer? What's the story?
Yeah, we opened up yesterday for our first day. It was a very interesting first day, first open. We have
How
all
so?
The things that we need. Well, you know, the interesting fact is, like, we've been able to go so long, and I think there's a few people in our community still who are just very used to not having anybody to see anybody at our restaurant. And so, yesterday we had the local police officers come check us out a couple of times. They would say interested people in the community calling and thinking we're not abiding by our guidelines, and you know we're just trying to open and operate and help ourselves get out of our, you know, the financial side of things, and help with our staff to be able to have a job. And you know, it's just, I think people aren't used to seeing people gathered anymore. So when you see people together, you're like, oh my God, they're not doing so.
They're having a party over there at All American Grill, which you're not.
Exactly.
You're not having a party. You're just trying to keep the lights on.
We just want to be able to have the opportunity to operate. You know, that's all we're asking for. And, you know, when you have that situation come in and people look at it like, what happened? Did something hurt? Did someone get hurt? No, it's just, interested people thinking that you're not doing what you're supposed to do. And, when they come
Tony?
And apologize for that, you know, it's crazy.
Isn't it crazy, Tony? I mean, let's everybody think about this here on Wake Up Memphis on the new Mighty 990. I'm your host, Robin Walensky, and we're speaking with Tony Sarwar, owner of Tony's Trophy Room, an All-American Grill, here on the Mighty 990. News time is 7:10. I'm thinking about what you just said, where you just said people are not used to seeing people and crowds. And this has happened in, 6 to 8 weeks? We're now reconditioned where if we see a couple of people outside standing around at the mailbox or over at your business, over at Tony's Trophy Room, somebody trying to go get a sandwich or dinner or lunch or something to eat, think about the conditioning of that so quickly in 6 to 8 weeks that people see a small little crowd of people over at your place and they think that you're violating the new phase one guidelines. I mean, to me, that's a stunning statement.
You know, it's so interesting too, how much that they're trying to put onto, like, as far as the business side of things. Hearing one of the clips that you had on earlier, that some restaurants are asking people to stay in the parking lot and they'll send text messages. But the other thing to that is, I don't have any right to tell anybody else that they have to sit into their car. You know, the people can run and go and kind of walk around as they want to, and I can give them these guidelines, but I can't police people the same way. You know, and so if two people happen to get out of a car and speak to one another, and people are so, like you say, so conditioned to not liking people communicating with each other anymore, and, you know, it could be family members, that everyone doesn't know the situation. It's just from that eye view, but it's so crazy to see how fast people have gotten to the point now where you're walking down an aisle and you're deciding, should I walk down that aisle because that person looks like he's too close to me? You know, I've seen people, right. I've been walking in the aisles of stores and trying to get the things that we needed for this phase one open. And, you know, people are turning away from you for that. And of course, you know, we have, we got blessed.
I mean, God forbid, Tony, you should sneeze or cough, right? They run
exactly.
off like the road runners, zoop,
exactly.
and they're gone, right?
Exactly. You know, exactly. And, you know, this, with this and the business aspect of it, you know, we have to, it's one way or the other. You know, someone said the same, you're going to either get this type of, if you get this sickness, the extremities of what can happen, or at the same time, you're going to suffocate yourself in how we're having to shut ourselves off from the rest of the world. It's one way or the other. And, you know, I feel for both people. I feel for the people too, who have that much fear about everything that's going on. My heart's out to them, but at the same time, I would hope that people would understand that we're, as restaurant owners and as people, we're trying to do the best that we can do to be able to operate, to open, and to abide by the guidelines, and not having any more authority than anybody else, and try to get it rolling so that we could get the economy going, and
absolutely
not getting kicked out of their houses and not getting foreclosed on, and being able to feed their families as well. I mean, we don't eat. You know, our families don't get to eat. We don't get to pay our bills if people don't come in the doors. And it was very nice to have takeout.
Oh, absolutely,
you know, nice,
Tony.
For that, but it wasn't enough.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's just not enough, like that
right.
type of to be able to.
Yeah.
It's not enough to operate. It's not enough for the staff to be able to make enough to have a living off of. So we needed something to get started, and we're appreciating the opportunity to give back to this phase one.
Let me ask you this, Tony. You talk about your staff. In our final minutes here, I have two final questions for you. How many staff members do you have? Estimate how much you've lost, and have you been able to access any of this coronavirus stimulus money out of Washington?
Oh my God, those are long questions. All right, so 20, give or take 20 plus people. 20
okay.
plus people. Don't know what you like when you mean people as far as full time, part time, but you know, we have a more of an extensive list of people that are part time help, but.
I was just trying to get our audience here on the Mighty 990 how large your place is and how many how big an operation. Were you able to tap into any of the money, the government money?
So as interesting as it sounds, we have been trying to get there. As we open up in phase one, we have finally gotten to the point of being able to sign some paperwork, get it over to finally get it done. We started the Friday that it allowed us to. Like, we were one of the first to turn. From my understanding, we were one of the first to submit the application, turn our information in, and it has taken us this entire time to look like there may be an approval to come down. Right. Now that we're opening up, which is kind of, I don't know what to do with that or how that's all going to play out, but you know,
it's a very complicated process for a lot of people, Tony. Very, very complicated. We're going
to
give you some big
people to do that.
We're going to give you a big shout out today on the Mighty 990 on our Facebook pages. You can friend me on the Robin Walensky page. You can go to the Mighty990.com page and our Facebook page here for the radio station. Our listeners here at Wake Up Memphis, we're going to encourage folks to go and get yourself some lunch or dinner at Tony's Trophy Room All-American Grill. What's the best dish on the menu? Tell me so I can get order.
Cajun shit. I tell you, if you want something so go come and try the Cajun chicken pasta, but you can never go wrong with the burger and fries. But come in and try the Cajun chicken pasta. It's amazing.
Oh, that sounds delicious. Tony Sarwar, owner of Tony's Trophy Room. Listen, I want to wish you the best of luck.
I hope you
can get your 20 plus or minus staff there up and running. You have a wife and four children and grandparents involved. You know, you want to also be able to feed your family, help out your workers. And we really wish you the best of luck here from Wake Up Memphis and the Mighty 990. We'll be back in touch with you, Tony. Let's try to check in with you next month, and we'll give it a couple of weeks, and we'll see what happens if you can get your business back up and totally running. We wish you the best of luck.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Tony. We've been talking to Tony Sarwar from Tony's Trophy Room. Check it out. Wow, that Cajun dish sounds good. And why not a little burgers and fries? That always hits the spot. I'm Robin Walensky. This is Wake Up Memphis, Mighty 990 News Time, 7:17. We'll be right back.
Now, back to Wake Up Memphis with Robin Walensky on the Mighty 990.
Good morning, everyone. Day two of phase one of the coronavirus. Getting back to work here in the city of Memphis. I'm your host, Robin Walensky. This is Wake Up Memphis. Mighty 990 News Time is 7:21. Traffic and weather now. Mighty 990 News Time, 7:22. I'm your host, Robin Walensky. You're listening to Wake Up Memphis on the new Mighty 990. Today is Cinco de Mayo, and we have lots of folks checking in, lots of listeners this morning on the Mighty 990 Facebook page. Hey, Mid-South, we need your help to find the best Mexican restaurants to celebrate Cinco de Mayo. Any suggestions? Okay, let's check in with Mike Donnell, who tells me that Happy Mexican Downtown, most definitely. Little endorsement there. Fabio says, for great flavor and authentic regional dishes, try Las Brasas. Laura saying that Ted's Cafe Escondido is the place to get your tacos today. And you can check in with us. Go to the Mighty 990 Facebook page. All of the podcasts, by the way, at themighty990.com. Tons of content there. Right now, though, we're going to get into a little bit of the latest news.
Here's what's in the news right now on Wake Up Memphis.
Well, this story, if you are a runner, Memphis and May's Great American River Run announces a new October date. So you can register for the 2020 Great American River Run, the half marathon, the 10K, and the 5K. I wish I could run a half marathon. I need to start training for that. Todd and I should do that together. The race, Todd Starnes of the Todd Starnes Show, that is. The race was, which was originally scheduled for May 21st. Clearly that's not happening, but the good news is it has been rescheduled for October 24th. The weather clearly will be a little cooler, but all due to coronavirus concerns, of course. You can go online and register. And it's a good news story, actually, because all the sponsors of that great race will be back in business. Now, we've had this situation in Germantown, where a press release was issued that they wanted to open up nail salons, waxing, tanning, massages. But turns out that's a no-go. They're not ready just yet. We're going to hear from WMC Action News 5 reporter Kendall Downing with the latest.
The city of Germantown put out a statement Monday at noon saying it would allow all personal appearance businesses, including nail, waxing, and tanning salons, and massage therapy businesses to open in defiance of the county health directive. By mid-afternoon, the city of Germantown put out a new additional statement saying, per orders from Governor Bill Lee, we must adhere to orders set forth by the county health department. At this time, only hair salons and barbershops located within Shelby County, including the city of Germantown, will be allowed to reopen on Wednesday. May 6th.
Okay, now also tomorrow, which is May 6th, Shelby County is allowing hair salons and barber shops to reopen. I mean, are you a guy and you're starting to wear a ponytail? What's the deal? So let's hear from Shelby County Mayor Lee Harris on some of the conditions that these hair salons are going to have to adhere to in cut number 3 and then cut number 4.
We want to ensure that there is one set of rules and safety measures that apply for all of Shelby County. We need to continue to work at unity even when it gets tricky, because this is how we will reduce spread. Consensus is important because different rules from one community to the next will not work.
Well, he's right about that. We have to be consistent with the rules. And let's face it, folks, it's going to be very difficult. And I just got a haircut outside. A friend of mine just did me a favor and cut my hair and dyed my hair outside on a curb in front of a salon, which was closed. So she kind of did me a favor kind of off the cuff. But now you're going to be able to go to Supercuts and some of the local places. We want to hear from you tomorrow. Do you own a barbershop or a hair salon? How's this going to work? Do you have enough masks? 901-260-5926 is the phone number to join the program. Here's some of the 12 conditions that Shelby County is instituting for your haircut tomorrow. There's going to be 15 minutes between appointments, so all your germs will dissipate and then they'll Lysol the place. If you're a walk-in, let's say you don't have an appointment, which, by the way, folks, call ahead and make an appointment. Make it easy on yourself and on the salon. These salons are working to get back to business for you. So call ahead, but they are taking walk-ins most places, but you're going to have to wait in your car. Also, the stylists are going to be wearing face masks. They're going to require that you wear a face mask. So if you have one of those little blue ones, you know, the kind that you see in the hospital, or the, you know, maybe somebody made you a mask out of a bra. Somebody made me one recently and sent me a bra mask or out of cloth. If, you know, your mom or grandma sews, you know, that would be a good one. Wear your own face mask there. They're also going to be wearing smocks and then changing them from haircut to haircut. So clearly there's going to be a lot of laundry that's going to need to be done. And then social distancing between the workstations. So you're no longer going to be able to sit next to the next person. There's going to be a seat in between you and the next person that's getting a haircut. You know, is this all going to work? How is this going to go down? What does this look like? Here's the thing. I don't have a crystal ball. I have no idea. Hopefully it'll be smooth sailing, but we will see. 901-260-5926 is our phone number here on the Mighty 990. And coming up in the next half hour, we're going to be going live to Washington, D.C. to hear from your elected leaders and find out what is going on in the Senate, what's going to be going on in the House of Representatives. And pretty soon after the break, we have on our schedule that we're going to check in with Tennessee Congressman, Democrat Steve Cohen.
Chicken Barr should have shown up today and answered questions.
Well, right there, he's talking about he had his KFC bucket of chicken, and he's talking about our attorney general. Kind of an interesting stunt. It made national news. We're going to ask him about it and all things Washington, D.C. And then we will hear from Senator Republican Lamar Alexander, a fair and balanced half hour coming your way right here on the Mighty 990. I'm Robin Walensky. You're listening to Wake Up Memphis, the Mighty 990 News Time, 7:30.
with Robin Walensky on the Mighty 990.
Good morning, everyone. I'm your host, Robin Walensky. You're listening to Wake Up Memphis here on the new Mighty 990. Mighty 990 News Time, 7:35, and on the Mighty 990 Newsline, we are doing a fair and balanced half hour. Our first guest at this time is Tennessee Congressman, Democrat Steve Cohen. Welcome to the new Mighty 990. How are you this morning?
Well, I'm fine. Thank you. Thank you. It's good to be with you. And how long have you been at 990, Robin?
This is day three, my friend. This is day three.
Were you in radio before this?
Oh, yeah. I have a decades-long career. And I used to live in Washington, D.C. For full disclosure, I went to George Washington University and to Georgetown, and I love the nation's capital, and I'm a big patriot. So all of the folks here in Memphis, the great people that you represent, want to know what is the very latest on the House of Representatives in terms of the coronavirus. Are you all going back to work? What is the latest with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi?
Well, we've never stopped working. We've been out of Washington all but 2 days since the 14th of March. We voted at about it was about 12:10 in the morning on the first, I guess it was the second CARES package, and then that was on the 14th, and then most of us came home as soon as we could, wanted to be home, and then we went back to vote on the CARES Act. That was, I think, on the 27th of March. There were about half of us there, including myself, and then we went back about 3 weeks later to vote on this supplemental bill, where we had about 400 of the members were there. Good turnout. It's a different world. I mean, going through the airports is not the same as it used to be because you're a little bit on edge. People should be wearing masks and gloves and things like that when they travel. A lot of people were not wearing masks when I flew, and therefore I called on the FAA and transportation departments and the airlines to start to require their employees as well as their passengers to be wearing masks. And they've started doing that, and I think that's really good because you don't feel comfortable sitting there next to somebody who doesn't have a mask, who may be talking on the phone, or maybe there were people walking down the aisles. You know, the airport airlines, it's person to person. There's no social distancing. Mm-hmm. And there were flight attendants that were off duty but flying home talking to people two or three people up down the aisles. It just wasn't a comfortable feeling. The Congress will go back next week, maybe on Monday. I'm not sure. We're supposed to go back. It's still up in the air. We'll get 24 hours notice. But right. When we've been at home, we work, and we work constantly. I've got, I think, five different either podcasts or conference calls to participate in today. Lots of proposed legislation and proposed missives that I review and approve or don't approve to go out over my signature. I work on legislation. I talk to constituents. Once I get up, I'm going, and I'm shocked that when the day's over, it's like, my God, another day. It was so quick.
Right. Even though you're not in D.C., you've been working, and we appreciate that. So a couple of personal things. Did you get a mask? What are you doing for yourself to protect yourself? And do you feel that the residents here in Memphis, that they can go now and get a test and find out, you know, if they have been sick and have been having symptoms, can they get the blood test and see? And have you been tested, if you could share with the audience?
No, I have not been tested because I don't think I've had adequate symptoms. There have been times that I've had over the last 7 weeks, different times, that I've had a little bit of a pain in my throat, and I thought, is this the COVID-19 sore throat, or I've had a little bit of a sneezed a few times. But I sneezed, you know, it's the spring. And, you know, I think all of us get a little hypochondriacal during this time. But
no doubt, it
all went away, and I haven't had the symptoms, and so I haven't availed myself of a test. But they're available to a lot of people, not maybe everybody, because there's not enough of them out there. And the antibodies, that's another case of production, and get them out there and seeing what it's like. The president, everybody that goes to the White House gets a test, and it's within 15 minutes they know the results. And they have the president gets tested regularly, I think, and he offered us some of those 15-minute quickie tests that for the House and Senate, but Leader McConnell and Speaker Pelosi declined them on the theory that the public people in the front lines should have those tests first. So I think that was a good call on their part.
Monday 990 News Time, 740, you're listening to Tennessee Congressman Democrat Steve Cohen, who has been gracious enough to join us here on the new Monday 990 and my new show, Wake Up Memphis. I'm your host, Robin Walensky, as we continue the conversation. You mentioned the president, Congressman, and you're a Democrat and he's a Republican. How do you think the president is doing in light of the fact that this thing just came out of nowhere? Has he done a good job, bad job? How would you rate him on a scale of 1 to 10?
I'd give him a zero.
Can you explain why?
Well, he knew from intelligence and from his health secretary that the coronavirus was quite likely to come to America and be a great effect on our economy and our health. Azar had a memo, and so did other staff members. I think it was Larry Kudlow had written memos and given them to him. He said he never saw them, but he had to have seen them, and if he didn't see them, it's because he doesn't read or look for things, but I'm sure they orally briefed him on it. Such a calamity that could occur to us, our country, the president would have been briefed by intelligence officials, in this case his Kudlow, one of his economic advisors, business advisors, and Azar, his cabinet member, and he didn't act. And instead, he said, this is nothing. We've got 15 cases. We'll have no cases soon. This is a Democratic hoax. This is we've got it under control. This is not a problem. I think the Chinese are doing a great job. I've got a great relationship with Z, whatever his name is. And they're doing a great job with it, and it's not going to be a problem. And we had 30 days. We could have prepared for this, and we didn't do anything. And he played golf, and he went on rallies. And he railed about different politicians as he does. And then we still don't have enough swabs, and we still don't have enough testing. And the whole idea that they've confiscated products that were going to go to the state, that Republican Governor Larry Hogan hid his products, had them flown in with the National Guard to get them, as Governor Pritzker did the same thing in Illinois, to hide his products so they wouldn't be taken over by the federal government.
Right.
And to put his son in charge of some of these things and have his daughter around. They don't know anything about any of these type of things. He should have had at first he did some good things when he was elected, and he had some people around him like General Kelly, who were military people who knew how to organize and knew how to take action. He doesn't have those people around anymore. So I think it's been terrible. We don't have the testing. And then talking about people ingesting Lysol, disinfectants, and putting some type of ultraviolet light inside your body. This was something that a third grader on a bad day would say.
You're listening to Mighty 990 News Time, 743. We're talking with Tennessee Congressman Democrat Steve Cohen, who's been gracious enough to join us here on Wake Up Memphis. I'm your host, Robin Walensky. In our remaining minutes here, Congressman, some of the Democratic governors, New York, Andrew Cuomo, and Murphy in New Jersey, and in California, Newsom, I know you're extremely critical of President Trump, and of course, we are all entitled to our views. We welcome all views here on Wake Up Memphis. But the Democratic governors, to me, watching on TV, you know, I'm not in California, I'm here, but there seems to be a feeling, a sense that I get that some of the governors, not all of them, have put aside the R in front of your name, the Republican, or the D, the Democrat, or the Independent. And there seems to me some folks that are kind of celebrating what I would call a 9/12 moment. You know, that day after 9/11, where we were not black or white, Congressman Cohen. We were not Jews or Christians or Muslims. We were just all Americans. We weren't old and young. I was in New York that day, and we would just became the day after 9/11 on 9/12. There was a different spirit in our country. Do you think that we can put that aside and get everybody back to work and get everybody healthy? Or am I living in some sort of fantasy land, rainbows and unicorns utopia?
Well, we should. And I think President Bush was correct when he said we're not Democrats or Republicans. God doesn't look at people that way, and we need to be all together in this. And I think President Bush was correct. And certainly we've had presidents that have done that in the past. We haven't seen it. I haven't seen the partisanship you're talking about. I don't watch Murphy that closely. I watch Cuomo many mornings, and I think he's been just splendid. The new Mr. Rogers, in a way.
You mean with his sweater?
I haven't seen it with Gavin Newsom either. I think they're doing a fine job. In other words, you know, and I think, like our Governor Bill Lee, I don't agree with some of the things he's done. I think he didn't kind of take action as quick as he could have. But I think he's a good human being and a good man, and he's trying to do right. And he's got experience as a small businessman. It's a very fairly big business, I guess, but not I guess it's small, but very successful. And he's very religious, and he's taken. Given churches a little exception from his stay at home order, which really more was a stay at home suggestion for quite a while, and he's opened up a little early. I just hope it works, and I think he's a good human being, and I think that most. And see, I know a lot of these fellows, a lot of these people have been in Congress.
There a long time, Congressman Cohen. I understand that we are up against a hard break. I want to say this to you before I came to the Mighty 990. You caught my attention. I mean, I'm kind of a political news junkie anyway, but you did catch my attention with your KFC chicken bucket. I thought it was very amusing. I know that you had some problems with Bill Barr not showing up with your chicken bucket. What kind of feedback, quickly, in the next 30 seconds, can you tell me, what kind of national feedback did you get after your stunt on the Hill?
It's been mixed, but most of my supporters liked it. Most of the people didn't like me don't like it. It was fun. I've been recognized for the first month everywhere I went, wherever I was in the world. People came up and said, you're the chicken guy. The biggest problem in Memphis for me was it wasn't Jack Purtle's or Gus's or Four Way Grill or even a super low grocery store on Madison's got the great fried chicken too, or Joe's, but I couldn't get it in Washington. It was just a thought one night. We decided that we should do something to have some fun with Barr not showing up, and KFC was the bucket was the good prop. KFC's okay too, but you give me a Popeye's sandwich and I'm happy.
Well, listen, I look forward to meeting you the next time I'm in the nation's capital, and we will share a bucket of KFC. You are welcome here on the program anytime.
We'll find some Gus's or some Jack Purtle. We'll bring
it up. It sounds like a date. Thank you so much, Congressman Steve Cohen, Democrat representing Memphis here. Live from Washington, D.C., and all of his views on President Trump. Coming up next, we're going to hear from the other side. Republican Senator Lamar Alexander is going to join me, Robin Walensky, here on Wake Up Memphis. Mighty 990 News Time, 7:47. We'll be right back.
Now, back to Wake Up Memphis with Robin Walensky.
Good morning, Memphis. I'm your host, Robin Walensky. You are listening to a brand new program, Wake Up Memphis. It is Cinco de Mayo, the 5th of May. Get a local Mexican place today. Help them out in Memphis. Go get a taco, a margarita, salt, no salt, doesn't matter. Support your local businesses. Mighty 990 News Time, 7:49, and joining us now from Washington, D.C., as promised, Tennessee Senator Republican Lamar Alexander. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is so nice to have you on the program. We are doing a fair and balanced look here at President Trump's coronavirus response. We were just had on the program Democratic Congressman Steve Cohen. He gives President Trump a 0 on a scale of 1 to 10. How has the president responded to the virus, Senator Alexander?
Well, I don't think Steve should be giving out grades like that, and I don't give them out. I think the president's tried very hard to deal with a very surprising event. Let's just think about it. This is a brand new virus. It's much more contagious than anybody imagined. It's a silent killer because you can spread it when you don't know you have it. And I think overall that the government's made a good response to it. If there's any, obviously we weren't as well prepared for it as we would like to have been, but the fault for that could be spread all around. So for example, this week we're having a hearing on Thursday on testing. Testing is the road back to school, back to work, and we're doing more than 2 million tests a week today, which is an impressive number, but we need a lot more. So it's not a matter of pointing fingers right now. I think it's a matter of working together and trying to say, how do we get more tests? How do we get more treatments? How do we get more vaccines? How do we get back to work? How do we get back to school?
Do you agree with me? I don't know if you heard the show and my comment. I was in 9/11, sir, and I was in New York City on 9/12 the day after. And to me, this reminds me, I mean, this is a very different thing, obviously. That was a terrorist attack on America, the second one. I was also in the 93 bombing at the World Trade Center. But this feels different. But in terms of the level of patriotism, and here on the Mighty 990 on my show on Wake Up Memphis, we play the Pledge of Allegiance. We have folks here locally in Memphis that are saying the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag. And we're all about patriotism here. And I think as a country, we need to come together and forget about if you're a Democrat or Republican or an independent. Where is that 9/12 spirit that we need to come together and fight, as you say, as the president says, the silent killer, the silent enemy, Senator Alexander?
Well, I thought we saw an example of that the other day when George W. Bush made his statement. I think the difference between 9/11, and of course it was horrible for those of you who were there, but most of us weren't there. In this case, it affects every single person. I mean, everyone's listening to the radio, everyone's watching television, everyone's thinking, well, I could catch this, and there's no medicine for it, and there's no vaccine for it. So in that sense, it's different. I think there is a spirit of patriotism around. I talk with Governor Lee, for example, and other members of Congress, both Senator Cohen and Congressman Cooper. They're Democratic members. We have good discussions every week. We passed major legislation here over the last month in Congress in a bipartisan way without a single discussion. Standing vote in the Senate. That's very unusual. So I think you're seeing that spirit of patriotism.
It's been interesting to watch how some of the Democratic governors, Newsom in California, Murphy in where I was born in New Jersey, and then, of course, Andrew Cuomo, who's been on every single day in New York City because they got really whacked hard up there. It's been interesting to see how there has been praise for President Trump, and some of these governors have left all this nonsense behind and are trying to get on with the business of the country, which is to get everyone tested. Have you been tested, Senator Alexander?
No, I haven't. I haven't had any symptoms. And at this point, while we're testing 2 million people a week, they're mostly for people who are frontline workers and who are showing symptoms of having the disease.
Now, the lights are on Capitol Hill in the Senate. I lived in Washington, D.C. and worked there for many years. I went to George Washington University in Georgetown and worked in media and C-SPAN when it first came on the air, and ABC News at the Bureau and at Fox News at the Bureau over by the train station. So I know Washington very, very well. My father was a professor at Georgetown University. And there's this patriotic feeling when you're in the nation's capital. And I understand that the Senate has the lights on and you all are back to business. What do you think of Nancy Pelosi and her leadership or lack thereof? How do you see it that the Congress is still not back?
Well, I don't go around giving grades to other members of Congress. There's plenty of that going on here. I think we're right to be back. For example, our hearing on Thursday is about the new Shark Tank, which we have created at the National Institutes of Health, to try to create a new way to create tens of millions of quick diagnostic tests, which are the real key to going back to school and back to work. And we have Dr. Francis Collins, who led the effort to map the human genome. He now runs the National Institutes of Health. He'll be there. We'll be working on that. The House of Representatives can make its own decisions about what it does. I think the Senate's right to be back. We have plenty to do, and we'll have that hearing Thursday. And then next Tuesday, we'll have an assessment. We'll have Dr. Fauci, Dr. Redfield, the head of the Center for Disease Control, Dr. Hahn, the Food and Drug Administration. They'll all be there Tuesday, and we'll make an assessment of where we are and what we need to do better. And the one thing I want to do, I want to make sure that before we end the year, we've done whatever we need to do to stop the next pandemic, because we know it's coming, and we have such a short attention span in our country that if we wait a year or two to do those things, we'll never get them done.
That's an excellent point. In our final minute here, when we're speaking with Tennessee Senator Republican Lamar Alexander, I'm Robin Walensky, your host here on Wake Up Memphis on the new Mighty 990. We so appreciate the senator and his time from Capitol Hill, live from Washington, D.C. Something that's very personal to me, I have some medical conditions, a thyroid issue, and I take medicine now every day of my life. Yeah, I woke up one day at 49 years old, and now suddenly I'm on medication that I never took. Senator Cruz has spoken a lot about this. Are we going to try to get the drug companies to start making pills here in the USA and not in China, as our final question?
Well, we should do more of that. We need to be careful about that, make sure we don't drive up the drug prices. We make our medicines all around the world. We need to make sure we have sufficient number of medicines here in case we have a epidemic like we have today. But the reason they make it around the world under FDA-approved conditions is because it keeps the price of medicines down. So we want to make all of them here. It'll drive the cost up. We need to take that into account when we make that decision.
Senator Lamar Alexander, Republican, representing our great state of Tennessee, thank you so much. And I know you're anxious to get back to work today on Capitol Hill, working for all the people and all the voters here in the state of Tennessee. Thanks so much for coming on Wake Up Memphis.
Thank you for inviting me.
We look forward to hearing from you again in a couple weeks. Folks, that's been Tennessee Senator Republican Lamar Alexander, who has spent a couple minutes of his precious time as he does the work, the business of the country, and tries to get the testing out there. And there's so much legislation and so much that needs to be done here in the city of Memphis. If you are not feeling well, now you can get one of those free tests. A lot of the local urgent care centers have set up tents where you can kind of drive by in your car and call ahead and make an appointment and get that cheek swab. And then if you think you've had the virus, there's now the tests for the antibodies. Okay, this has been an action-packed show here on Wake Up Memphis. I'm your host, Robin Walensky. Our telephone number to join the program tomorrow, 901-260-5926. You're going to be able to get a haircut and your hair done in Shelby County tomorrow. We're going to see how that's going to work. Also invite you to check out all our content on the Mighty990.com page, also Mighty990 Facebook page, my personal page, Robin Walensky page on Facebook. Like me, lots of great content there. You can download the podcast of this show at the Mighty 990 after it airs. And coming up next here on the Mighty 990 is going to be Jesse Kelly. He has a fantastic program. After him, the one, the only Todd Starnes on the Todd Starnes Show from 11 to 2. And we will see you back here tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. to 8 on the Mighty 990. I'm Robin Walensky, and this is Wake Up Memphis.